He focuses in, I went out of order with the bulletin, darn it. Oh well, I was supposed to read before I, but anyways, you can record it now. All right. So Matthew and Luke, Matthew focuses in on Joseph, Luke focuses in on Mary, but not many of us go to the Gospel of John when we think of a Christmas story, but it is there. So John, chapter 1, let's see if we can find that. I also want to remind us of a verse we brought up last week, which was Colossians chapter 2, verse 17. And if you remember, we saw there that in Colossians chapter 2, there it's not bad to do, for instance, Sabbath or new moon festivals or religious ceremonies. But Paul told the Colossians, I don't want you to focus on the shadow of the things when in reality the substance is found in Christ. And we're talking last week, and we want to keep bringing this up this week, that it's important at this time in Christmas for us Christians to focus on the substance of Christmas, and that the shadows of Christmas, the ceremonies and the festivals and the different things, are not bad, but what is bad, and I say with love, is for us, myself included, to miss the substance of Christmas, what Christmas really is. And our culture and our world is telling us one thing, and Scripture, frankly, tells us another. So we want to be responsible Christians. We want to be maturing Christians. We want to not let our culture dictate our mood during Christmas, I guess would be one way of putting it. And we want to focus. We want to have fun. We want to give presents. We want to do all these things, but we also don't want to miss what it really is. Amen? And so, John chapter 1, now there's three points that I want to bring out this morning, and what I want us to do is to think of the Christmas story according to John, and he's going to be more theological in his Christmas story than, say, Matthew and Luke's account, which is more of just the practical story. John's gospel is very deep and theological, and many of us like that. I want to point out three things about Jesus, and as we do it, I want us to imagine the baby Jesus, and we're all going to imagine this a little different, but I want us to imagine the little baby Jesus in the manger that night when the shepherds came to see him. And I want us to picture that little baby Jesus. And I want us to point out three things about that baby Jesus 2,000 years ago. First, that little baby Jesus, imagine it, he is and he was the creator of the world. We're going to see that in these John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. That little baby, at that time, the shepherds all gather around and there's Mary and Joseph and some animals probably, that little baby was the creator of the world. Also, number two, that this baby Jesus who created the world would be rejected by the world. That little baby Jesus, and we think of Christmas as all just sweet and Jesus, the world will turn on that baby Jesus and reject him. These are points that are the substance of Christmas. Christmas is not all fun stuff. And then third, that baby Jesus was the Savior of the world. So when we see that baby Jesus, we're going to picture him. He was the creator of the world at that time. And he always has been, always will be. That he would be rejected by that world. And he is the Savior of the world. And that he's the Savior of the world. So first, he's the creator of the world. John chapter 1. He is the creator of the world. That baby Jesus, we're picturing him. In the beginning was the Word. Now, the Word, many of you might know this, but just to catch some of us up, the Word here is Jesus. And long story short, this is one of Jesus' names. It's in the Greek, it's this word logos. And the reason John is using this name for Jesus here is as a word manifests something that a person is thinking or feeling or who he or she is. Right? You don't know anything about me if I don't speak. Watch. There wouldn't be a lot going on. It would be kind of awkward. Be like, let's get that guy off. Okay, so same thing with God. The way he reveals himself, his thoughts and his words, is ultimately through Jesus. Through Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. And you see, this is what Hebrews chapter 1 says, the first couple of verses, that God has spoken to us through prophets and all these things throughout history, but in these last days, he's spoken to us finally in his Son, Jesus. So Jesus, then, that's a short, brief, okay, they do classes on this stuff, okay, but there's a short, brief explanation of the Word here. It is Jesus. So in the beginning was the Word. Or you could paraphrase that and say, in the beginning was Jesus. That's what John is saying. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, the Word, Jesus, was with God in the beginning. And through him, through Jesus, through the Word, all things were made. Remember, and God said, let there be light, back in the book of in the beginning of the Bible, right? And God spoke, and it came into existence. That was the little baby Jesus, what we call pre-incarnate, pre-existent, okay? Eternal God, the little baby Jesus. That's amazing. Through him, all things were made. And without him, nothing was made that has been made. Now, skip down to verse 14. The Word, Jesus, here's Christmas, here it is. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He became flesh that Christmas night, I guess we could say, even though it wasn't December 25th. That's another whole story. We'll say that for another year. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So what I want you to do is I want you to picture the baby Jesus that night, and this little baby, Mary and Joseph, and maybe the shepherds come in, and you got animals and whatever's going on, some stink going on in the manger, I guess. But that baby, born in a manger, is the creator of all things. All of the cosmos, everything you can think of, everything from the universe down to men's souls, he created it all. That's what John's saying, and that's what John's going to focus in on with Christmas. He became flesh. That means he was born and became a human, got a body, the creator. And there he is, this baby. Hard to think of a baby that way, isn't it? But that's who he was. That's who he is. That baby lying in the manger was 2,000 years ago. He still is. He's not a baby now. The eternal, pre-existent creator of all things. It's God, God himself. God himself in the form of a human. That is the substance of Christmas, part of it anyways, part of the substance of Christmas. Did Jesus say this? Yeah, later on in John chapter 14, and Philip says, Jesus, just show us the Father, show us God, and that will be enough for us. Jesus said to him, Philip, have I been here so long with you, and yet you don't know me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. When you're looking at me, you're looking at God. That's what Jesus said of himself. Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. Colossians chapter 1. So Jesus, Christmas, the baby born in the manger, created everything. He's the creator of the world. Number two, he was rejected by that world that he created. Let's read on, verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. So, really quick, Jesus created everything physical, the physical universe, back in Genesis, co-eternal, co-equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit, created everything, and yet, at the same time, not only did he give life to everything physical, he gives light to men's souls. He gives life to men's souls as well. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. Now get this, but the darkness has not understood it. Now, in the original language, just follow me here. This is interesting. In the original language, this is how that verse 5 reads. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness didn't want it. Didn't want it. There came a man who was sent from God, and his name was John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself, John, was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. That is Jesus, that is the Messiah, that is God. The true light, verse 9, the true light that gives light to every man or that shines on every man was coming into the world. A lot of people like to use a verse like that and say, oh, universalism, you see, God's light's in everyone, everyone's going to go to heaven, everyone's good, God's with everyone and everyone's with God. But that's not what that says, again, in the original language in Greek. This is how verse 9 would read if you were listening to this in Greek. The true light that shines on every man in the sense of shining to give them an opportunity to accept or reject him was coming into the world. That the light shines on every person, giving them an opportunity to accept or reject him. That's what that means. Let's see if in context it fits with the rest of what John is saying here. Verse 10, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, because he's the creator of the world, though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. The world did not want him. His own creation did not want him. This is the baby Jesus lying in the manger. We have hindsight. This is what's going to go down. He came to that which was his own, to Israel, his people, God's people, his covenant people in the Old Testament. But his own did not receive him. They rejected him. Baby Jesus, born in the manger, pre-existent creator of all things, all supreme, most high, baby, creator of all things, and is rejected by that creation when he comes. You see, we think of Christmas, we like to think of Christmas a certain way. You've been programmed. But really, Christmas, as much as it is good news of great joy for all people, it's also this, and this is what the angel told Mary in Luke chapter 2. I don't know if you remember, but a few days after Jesus was born, Simon, this prophet came up. We talked about this last week, and he said, behold, this child is appointed. Let's see if this sounds like good or bad, negative or positive. This child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, Simon told Mary, and for a sign to be opposed. Little baby Jesus up at the temple. And a sword will pierce your own soul too, Mary. That's Mary's Christmas. To the end that the thoughts of many hearts and minds will be revealed. They'll be revealed in that the light will shine on them, the light of the world, and they will have to make a decision about him. And Jesus said things like this. I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. Do you know he said that? In fact, let's just flip there really quick to Matthew chapter 10. And he's not talking about the kind of sword that we're talking about. Matthew chapter 10. The creator of the world, baby Jesus, rejected by that world. Some, the light will shine on, and they will reject him. Most will. Some will accept him. Matthew 10, verse 32. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Don't suppose that I came to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Well, Jesus, what do you mean? Well, he explains it. Read on. For I have come to turn a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. This is Jesus speaking, not me. I'm just reading his words. And a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. What's he saying there? That my coming into the world as the creator of the world, it's going to separate people on earth, those who reject me and those who don't. And in that sense, it's going to be like a sword, turning even families against each other according to whether they accept me or reject me. So part of the substance of Christmas is understanding at that time, that little baby Jesus, the impact that he would bring on the world, and the impact that he is going to have on men's souls. And this is why that baby Jesus, creator of the world, comes into the world, here I am, and the world rejects him. And his own people kill him. That also is the substance. Now, Eric, I just want to talk about the Christmas trees. I just want to talk about the Christmas trees, please. Let's do a sermon on Christmas trees. But in reality, the substance of Christmas is the Creator becoming flesh, dwelling among us, and some of the bad news is that most rejected him. Look again, really quick at verse 5 and verse 10 and 11. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness didn't want it. Verse 10. He was in the world that he created, and the world was made through him, and the world didn't want him, didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, Israel, but his own didn't receive him. In fact, they turned him over to Rome and said, give us a criminal instead. Christmas is not just the baby Jesus. Christmas, the idea of it, is the Creator taking on flesh and coming into the world I'm not supposed to ask questions. Why did he have to become a man? Quickly, somebody yell it out. Don't be afraid. It'll be okay. Why did he have to become a man? Why did he have to take on a body? That's so he could suffer and die. That's right. And I often say this, and you've probably already heard me say it. If I were God, I would have used my all power that I created everything with. I would have not suffered. I would have not felt the pain. Or I could have got up on the cross for you and just used my power and not felt the pain. But he actually became a human, started off in the womb, came out of the womb, creator of all things, to suffer and die for the sins of the world. And his world doesn't want him. Let's see, does this fit with the rest of Scripture? Well, how about Isaiah 53, verse 3? Isaiah 53, verse 3. You can just listen, or if you're a really fast flipper, or you have your phone or something, you can get there before me even. Except I have it printed out right here. Isaiah 53, 3. Does the Bible say that this little baby Jesus, that he would be rejected? Isaiah 53, 3, he, speaking of Jesus the Messiah, was despised. You can say, well, the little baby looks cute, but he will be despised by the world as he grows up and rejected and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Nothing like creating everything and it not wanting you, and turning you over and killing you. By the way, if you have griefs or if you have sorrows, take comfort that the Creator of all things knows how you feel. And like one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. That's the prophecy. This isn't popular Christmas, what I'm talking about, but it's the substance of it. That this little baby Jesus coming into the world, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to go down. This is what's, and if we're not careful, this whole thing of Christmas, all of these shadows that aren't bad, but if they become your substance and my substance for Christmas rather than the true story, we could, even in these last days, still be rejecting the God-man, the creator of all things. You see, if he came to suffer and die for our sins and became flesh, and his taking on flesh was a very sorrowful, painful thing on our behalf because he loved us. If I turn that into something else other than what he meant it to be, I could be in danger of the same rejection that he faced when he was here on earth. Does that make sense? Just something to be careful about. What is the pastor saying? He's saying, be careful. The world is making Christmas out to be something it's not. There you go. That's a simple nutshell. It's not supposed to be depressing and sad. It's supposed to be great and joyful. But don't lose the substance. Don't lose the substance. And don't teach your children to lose the substance of it. Teach your children the Christmas story, which is he became a creator, became a man to suffer and die for our sins, risen from the dead. He was rejected, though. He would be rejected. In fact, the rejection only starts just a little while after the little baby. Maybe in the first 2 years, the king tries to kill him, right? Herod. So from the onset, he was opposed. Lastly, this creator of the world that was rejected by the world, he is the savior of the world. John 1:12. He is the savior. He was a savior. We're picturing Jesus in the manger. Creator, rejected, but he's the savior. Yet to all who did receive him, see, some did. To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. This baby Jesus, now we're picturing him, is going to be the savior of the world. He's going to grow up. His creation is going to reject him and kill him. And he will rise from the dead. And all of this, he knows before he becomes incarnate, before he's born, he knows already they will reject me. That's an intense thought, but I have to do it for those who will accept me. I have to do it. I have to become a man. I have to. This is what the Bible says. Everybody on earth has sinned. Everybody on earth is the same. And the only way that our sins could be taken away, why do I want my sins taken away? Yeah, I want to go to heaven. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. I want to live forever with God. That's right. So for that to happen, your sins have to be taken away. Somebody has to take the punishment for your sin, Eric. So find somebody. Here's the problem. There's nobody on earth, though, that hasn't sinned. So nobody can do it for you. So God says, okay, I will do it. I will do it then. I'll become a human. I'll be perfect because I'm God. I will suffer. And because I'm perfect, I can suffer for the sins of the whole world. Everyone and anyone who believes in me. I will take the punishment for them. And here's the kicker. This baby Jesus, born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, knew all of this from the beginning of time. He had to become a real man to do it. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2. And he, Jesus himself, bore our sins in his body. You see, he had to have a body on the cross. so that we may die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his what? By his stripes, by his wounds, you were healed. That's the substance of Christmas. I'm not trying to be a downer. I'm not trying to be a downer. But this is what I would want us to do as a church, as Christians. Celebrate Christmas. Do the Christmas tree like we have. Give people presents as long as it doesn't break the bank. But don't lose the substance of it. If we lose the substance of why he came, I fear that it is a smack in the face, really. And I just say that for us, that we want to be a people that when we tell people about Christmas, when we tell our children about Christmas, we tell them the good news. The angels told the shepherds that night, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. There has been born for you a Savior who is Christ our Lord. Good news of great joy. Good news of great joy. Not that good for him. It's going to be, he's going to be a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs and be stricken by his own creation. But because he loves us so much, he won't stop. He won't stop. And the angel told Joseph, she, Mary, will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, because, now here's Christmas, he will save his people from their sins. It only starts with the baby Jesus. It ends with the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ and being glorified to the right hand of God the Father in heaven. Now we're waiting for him to return. And my question for every single person here, and we're going to close, or your question for someone out there and or your children is, do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe this is who that baby is and was? Or do you reject him? Father, we thank you again for this time, and I do pray that we would be a people that rejoice during this time with the gospel, the good news that the Son of God died for the sins of the world, was rejected, knowing that this would happen. Creator of all things, he did it to save the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, whoever would believe in him should not die but live forever. I do pray that we would remember as a church to keep the substance of Christmas at the forefront of our minds and of our activities, and thereby bring you glory and honor in Jesus' name.